Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win. Paddy Power.
Hello everyone, welcome to a special edition of Road to Cheltenham. We are live pre-racing here at Clonmel, but if you watch this evening at 9 o'clock, or indeed if you are watching at 9 o'clock, our usual slot on a Thursday, you'll get an extra at the end of the show when we digest the feature race, the Clonmel All Chase, and anything else of interest here today. When I say we, of course I'm referring to my co-presenter on Road to Cheltenham, Ruby Walsh. Ruby, welcome.
Co-presenter, that's a promotion. Now we're on Irish soil, I'm getting upgraded here. Usually I'm just the guy in the end with the notes.
Well, guy on the end of the notes, you should really be welcoming me to Clonmel, because this is the first time I've ever been here. It's absolutely fabulous.
You like it, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's really good.
Boutique race course.
People don't make race courses like this anymore. I'm looking forward to going and walking the course.
Well, they most certainly don't make them like this anymore anyway. That's a fact.
But it's not just me and Ruby. Today we've got a very special guest. He is the 3 times champion jockey. He's won every race of note here in Ireland. 22 times a Cheltenham Festival winner and twice a winner of the Grand National back-to-back on Tiger Roll. It is, of course, Davy Russell. Davy, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Lydia. How are you?
I'm very well indeed.
Yeah, you're very welcome to Clonmel, Lydia, since Ruby.
He's much better manners than me, Lydia.
Don't worry. I'm sure he'll learn your way by the end of the programme. We've got lots to talk about. Plenty of horses that you have ridden, including Three Stripe Life, who comes up later. But I thought I'd also ask you about Maxim, who was a very ready winner for you at the weekend.
Yeah, I suppose we're still learning about him. He ran well in Punchestown and just kind of got chinned on the line. To be honest, I was very disappointed. But the horse to beat him went on and won subsequently. So, you know, that kind of eased it a little bit. And then Sunday was a bit of a shock by the way he done it, to be honest. Throughout the race, he was just kind of just hanging in there. And then, you know, all of a sudden, he was getting stronger and stronger and he finished off really well.
Yeah, he cruised through it in the end.
Yeah.
Gordon was saying afterwards he might see him long term for the Per Temps. Now, clearly, he's obviously got to win at least once more in order to get in there. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, I'd say stamina is definitely his fort, going to be a huge help for him. And only other thing is the ground with him. If ground got tight, you know, in March, it might be a slight worry, but he's definitely a horse that can go and run in them qualifiers for sure.
Okay, well, I look forward to seeing what he does next. But we are going to stick with the stayers, but stick with horses that are a bit higher in grade and have a look at the stayers hurdle. Ruby, you're going to give us a sort of potted digest of where we were at the end of the season, having a look at the key races from last term.
Yeah, look, we'll start with Liverpool. Obviously, Sire de Burley had his big day in the sun at Aintree. Flooring Porter went to a ferocious gallop on that occasion, but Sarah de Burley was able to hang in to him, and he eventually came in and chinned Flooring Porter on that occasion. It was a good run from him. We obviously saw him at the Liz Mullen, or in the Liz Mullen at the weekend, and you know, it wasn't a bad run for him, but there he is getting to Flooring Porter and beating him on that occasion. Obviously in the stairs hurdle at Cheltenham, it was the other way around. It was a race that Danny Mullins controlled very much from the front on Flooring Porter at Cheltenham, and great tactical ride, big field, and it probably is the be-all and end-all. But look, even at the back of the last, Flooring Porter, he's that much running left, he wants to go around Cheltenham again. But look, he is the standard bearer. Again, we'll get to him in a second. You had the Christmas hurdle at Leopardstown where the horse in fourth there in the red, Classical Dream. This was a race that was completely of two halves at Leopardstown. Classical Dream got a flyer out the gate under Paul Townend, and Flooring Porter could never get him back on that occasion. So look, they were the three big staying hurdles from last year. The form was Irish. The Irish horses came to the fore, and this weekend, or last weekend, plenty of them ran in the Liz Mullen.
Davy, Flooring Porter last season was consistently the one to beat, wasn't he?
He was, and Ruby probably, you know, has touched on it there. I think the entry and the Cheltenham races, I think Flooring Porter ran. Entry has a habit of buzzing up horses a little bit, and he ran the figures, you know, a lot quicker than he ran in Cheltenham, as in from the start, middle, you know, three quarters part of the race. Not intentionally by Danny, he was trying to slow it down as much as he could, but whereas in Cheltenham, for some reason, he settled an awful lot better. His figures were an awful lot slower at different parts of the races, and Danny really was able to dictate it. Not so much in entry, it was a little bit quicker at different times of the race. But again, you must remember to Liz Mullen last year, you know, I feel Florian Porter was beaten when he fell.
Last.
I do, yeah. Right. I rode in the race and we were very aware of him not getting a freebie. He was coming to, you know, he was coming to the end of his run, I feel. I think it was very similar than this year than last year. So I don't think you'd be taking Florian Porter off the top of the list just yet.
Yeah.
I think it was very similar to last year. I think it was this year's Liz Mullen had a lot more classier horses that were able to travel and get to him an awful lot easier. But whereas the season will progress, I think Florian Porter will come into his own. I just wouldn't knock him. I done so last year. I actually didn't think he was going to win another stairs hurdle, but he proved me wrong, and I'm going to stay with him until he proves the other way this year.
Learning from our mistakes, I try to do that all the time. Yeah. Let's have a look at the Liz Mullen hurdle, shall we? This, of course, was won by home by the Lee. We're going to be concentrating on him in focus a little bit later, but the big question coming out of this race, Ruby, was about Bob Ollinger.
It was. Look, you have Bob Ollinger, Ashdale Bob, home by the Lee, Zanna here, Sarah de Burley, lots of good horses in this race, and I think a lot of eyes were on Bob Ollinger, Lydia. How would he travel? How would he jump? Would he show more, or for me anyway, would he show more enthusiasm in a hurdle race than he did in a chase? I think he did. Down the hill from the second hurdle to the third, he was alive and keen with Rachel Blackmore. Don't think we had seen that last year at all. But you can see, was this race running a good gallop? I think it was. Look from Flooring Porter in front to Sarah de Burley and JP McManus's green and white cap. There's a good stretch on this field. Danny Mullins was going a decent enough gallop. Zanahir made a bad mistake in the back straight. Bob Ollinger was awkward at the last down the back. Home by the lead, pushed him forward into the straight. But, you know, down they go. Boshtel Bob misses the third last. But, you know, it was there for Bob Ollinger. Down to the second last, I think he's going to open up and go, but camera angles can be deceptive. Watch him and Ashdale and home by the Lee landing at the last hurdle. They landed almost simultaneously. He was actually right beside him by then, and he's outstayed Bob Ollinger. Now, people have queried Bob Ollinger, or I've read and heard since, his head carriage, did it come up? Did he chuck it? Did he run out of petrol? Is there an issue with him? I think he's the same horse there as he always has been, in his gait and how he gallops and how he jumps. I think he'll improve for the run. He got beaten by Fernie Hollow, forced him up over hurdles. He did win his beginner's chase, but it was a pretty weak one. I think he'll improve plenty, but what trip do you go with him, Davey? Do you go up or back?
Yeah, there's a load of things to touch on there. If you look at Bob Ollinger when he's point to point, he's the exact same horse as he is today, so I'm agreeing with you. He's the exact same horse. There's nothing has changed that way. Do you go up and trip, or you really, I suppose you're not going to go back and trip, are you?
Not when you have honeysuckle.
Yeah. Well, exactly. He's in two minds. He's thinking about the Matheson or the Christmas hurdle at Leopardstown.
Yeah, I just think with the stairs hurdle, I think he suits it. Mm-hmm. I think he's a chaser. He's come back from chasing. I think to decide the rest of the season on just one blip, he had last year's stairs hurdler, the best of last year's stairs hurdlers behind him, mm-hmm. well behind him. So I just wouldn't panic just yet. And as Ruby well knows, going back over hurdles, getting him back to enjoy it and getting him to stay the 3 miles, you know, you have to dip in and out of all of these things. I just wouldn't be panicking just yet.
He was clearly enjoying himself much more than over fences.
The one thing I do think about him is that he is a much better horse going left-handed.
Yeah, right.
I think left-handed, he doesn't jump left or right, mm-hmm. but I just think he's an awful lot happier going left-handed. I just saw him I was watching the replays during the week, and he just has that tendency to lean a little bit to the left. And he's just happier getting to the rail and going that way, I think.
Maybe we can have a look at Bob Ollinger in focus. We were going to have a look at Florian Porter first, but maybe we can just cut straight to Bob Ollinger, which the two of you are debating. And I'm more worried than the two of you. I agree his head carriage is typical, and we've seen that before.
That's him pulling up, and he's only tried over 3 miles. I don't think he can pay any heed to that. Punchestown time, Henry's horses are running now. They do well to last the Punchestown. He didn't, and he's pulled up, so what? But here he is in the Ballymore, Brave Man's Game, Bear Gills, Gaillard and Menil.
There as he was. And again, in his point of point, he wasn't the most natural horse, and even through his now, you know, early on in his career, he has that little bit of just to pull himself from side to side, and his head is exactly there where it is.
But there's a bit of a hanging fire to me. I mean, I suppose it could have been first time out and all that kind of thing in the
but
last time.
Here he is in his maiden hurdle. I know it's Fernie Hollow that comes and chins him in a bit of a sprint, but like, is he hanging fire in Navan against Lahome by the Lee any more than he was there? All right, he beats Bacardi's in his beginner's chase, makes a mistake at the last, but Look, Master McShee is third, you could say there, so maybe that's stronger form, but I don't think the race, I'm not giving up on him. I'm in Davies' camp. Watched him win in the Ballymore and watched him win in the Maidenhead and Navan. Kicking Bob Olinger to touch us yet.
I'm not doing that either. No. I'm just raising more questions than you are. I'm less convinced by that last run. Let's have a look at Flooring Porter as well, because we've got some things to talk about with him as well.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a horse that improves for his first run. Here's the race Davey was talking about. He said he rode in it. He rode Grand Roy, but look, he fell at the second last. Davey must have thought he had him beaten that occasion.
Not me. I had him beaten, but I felt that he was just coming to the end of his, and the way the winner won that day. So.
And this is him, the only time he's won off the back of a long break. He beats Cusper Carabelli at Goran Park off the back of an extended break, but he was rated 122 on that occasion, so he was entitled to run probably £25 below his ability and still win that day. Whereas when you're in the Liz Mullen, you can't run that far with all your ability and win.
Again, I'm going to disagree with you. I think at the time that was a career best for Flooring Porter coming off a long break, and this time last year was still a much better run than the one that we saw in the Liz Mullen.
I'm not so sure. Grand Roy wouldn't, you know, was the chaser that day. Mm-hmm. Sunday Bob Olinger was the chaser. Home by the Lee is not a bad horse. He, you know, he's. I think this year's, like you, Zanny here, you had a lot of quality horses in the Liz Mullen last year. What's his name, won it, and he's a very good horse last year, sorry, the Burle, but you know, I mean, the
Durasso won it last year.
Or Durasso, sorry,
yeah, the other horse. So I don't know, I'd say on paper to me, I'd be thinking that this year's Liz Mullen was a stronger race.
Yeah, I'd agree, definitely.
I think it was a stronger race and a lesser performance.
All right, fair enough. We'll agree to disagree. This show will be over before we move on.
Let's have a look at the West Yorkshire Hurdle. We didn't have time to have a look back at that in last week's show. This was won by Pashima, Ruby, and won very tidily.
Yeah, it was. Look, and she lined up, Pashima lined up at the back of the field. Some decent horses in here. Oscar Elite, 300 through 5, Indefatigable, Sporting John and Thomas Darby. And nothing changed in this race till they got round into the straight on the last circuit where Pashima was still last. But it's how Pashima quickens up, gets to the ones in front, and just absolutely sluices in. It's like, this is a really good performance. Pashima having been beaten in the race the year before. Has everything else regressed, or has Pashima stepped forward? I don't know. But
I think everything else has regressed.
Possibly, but I'll have to see Pashima again before I really believe it. But if Bob Olinger had run away from Home by the Lee, like Pashima's run away from Thomas Darby, we'd be all jumping up and down. So why are we dishing Pashima?
It's no doubt a career best performance. And I think that probably under 3.5 and Oscar Elite, who had come back from fences, probably ran pretty well for them. But the horses with proven staying hurdle form, I think they were well below their best. But we'll see.
With that time, will tell us that time of year.
It absolutely is.
But I'm assuming Pashima will go to Newbury next week.
You'd hope so.
Imagine, so we'll get a look at Pashima then.
Yeah, we'll have a proper look at him next week. Now we are going to focus on Analyse This. It is a new way of doing Analyse This, isn't it, Ruby?
It was the viewer's choice. We stuck up a couple of races and you decided which one you wanted to look at, but we're going to look at JJ Slevin riding Home by the Lee. And it was a fabulous ride. Now, many people will think it was because he never gave up, but I think there were some big tactical decisions he made in here as well. And Sunday's Liz Mullen Hurdle lines up in a handy enough position on Home by the Lee, who's a strong stare, good gallop on Flooring Porter and Ashdale Bob. But as we saw already in the clip, very early in the race, Home by the Lee is flat to the boards. JJ has to give him a reminder at the back of the third hurdle, but when he faces into the back straight, he allows the race to get away from him. He sits on Home by the Lee. He can't go with the ones in front, but he does make a big move across the top of Navan. I was watching this live thinking, JJ, you can't move there in Navan. You can't kick into a race before you pass the four. Off the top of the hill, he pushes Bob Olinger forward on the slight downhill run, but you've got to climb back to three out. And I'm thinking to myself, he's using this horse the whole time, but it's a tactical decision he made. He forced Bob Olinger forward to the third last hurdle on his first run. Home by the Lee, of course, had run during the summer. Jumps the third last well. Bob Olinger commits down to the second last. Home by the Lee jumps it, but never gets away from him. They land side by side, or almost side by side, and Home by the Lee outstays him. It was a big tactical call by JJ Slevin to commit across the top of Navan. It usually doesn't pay off, but fair play to you, JJ, it worked for you.
What did you think of that ride?
Yeah, look, everything, there's a couple of things that you must remember. JJ is only just back that last weekend from a broken couple of bones in his back. So that was an added part to it. He rode a grade two winner on Saturday and rides a grade two winner on Sunday. You know, hell of a feat to come back straight into it. And I thought another very interesting part of it was I watched last year's Stairs Hurdle. He jumped off down the inside. He stayed there. He didn't like it. He was middle to inner jumping off here. And when JJ felt that this isn't happening, he moved out. But he didn't just move outside horses. He moved right out and away from the field to try something new. He knows the horse from home. And I thought that was a huge, it was a brilliant bit of riding from JJ to what wasn't working. He had to change something. And I'd say, you know, there's not many options you have in a race. What are you going to change? You know, he's trying to go forward. He can't do that. So he just takes him out of the ruck and brings him out wide. And not alone wide, but wider still again, you know.
Okay, interesting point. This was a two-horse race, by the way, if you're wondering. 59% of people voted for Home by the Lee. 34% for Garlaw, Johnny Burke winning the Paddy Power Gold Cup. And only 4% for Richard Patrick's ride on Magic Dancer and 3% for Jack Andrews' ride on A Night in Lambourne. So they were trailing from an early stage.
They were, because of what's visually easy to see for people at home. JJ pumping and pushing all the way, but some of those were very good tactical rides, I thought.
Well, not this week.
Nope.
They missed out. They missed the cut. We've got a viewer's question actually coming up, and thank you to Dennis McCarthy for this. And this is for the two of you, Davey and Ruby. He's interested in how horses get fit for racing. After coming in for the summer, I take it they gradually build up their fitness. He's wondering how long they'd canter for, at what percentage of speed in a daily session. When schooling, how many fences or hurdles would they jump in a week, Davey?
How long is a piece of string?
Yeah, exactly. Which trainer are you talking about? Loads of mitigating circumstances, or you know, different reasons for different things. But the general thing is, they start on a walking for 10 days. All that time is built up. It starts at maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. That goes on for, you know, 10, 12 days. That you can often happen at home in the owner's place or a pre-training yard or something like that. Then they pop into the trainers, and it's very steady, slow, mundane, boring, tiring work, riding out these big, strong horses, going slow, you're paining your back from doing it, but that goes on and on and on and on, and it feels like a lifetime, but it's probably
12 weeks, yeah. 12 to 16. Right. You look at Paul Nicholls or Gordon Elliott, whose horses are on fire now. Henry de Bromhead's even more so than Willie Mullins is, but it's no different than you going to the gym. If you haven't been to the gym, you can't do very much the first day, or you'll be sore as a boil the second day. Horses are no different. So, as David said, you got to build it up. If you look at Paul Nicholls, second week in July, his horses come in, they're ready to run by the first week in October. That's a little over 12, probably 14 weeks there or thereabouts. And then, but if you look at these horses that have run in the 14th week to the 15th, to the 16th, to the 17th, the ones in the 17th are 3 weeks fitter again.
Yeah,
so
right.
It does take
some.
Yeah, same with Gordon. So, like, you're talking somewhere between 14 and 18 weeks to get them there.
When does the schooling over obstacles start, and how many? He's asking how many obstacles.
What would they jump? 12 in a session, probably do that twice a week. Four times maybe, and then you're topping up. That's now you're talking about race horses who've been taught. If you go back to the very beginning, to the grassroots, when they're taught how to jump, that takes way longer.
Yeah,
but when
you're
just schooling these,
they start over basically the height of your ankle to your knee to your hip, and then to a fence to your shoulder. So that's basically the build up, and
like getting done too quick, it'll go wrong.
Yeah, and frighten them early, and it's very hard to get them back. So.
Yeah.
Or even have to get a dislike to it early, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to get them to enjoy it. And
it's a mental battle as well as a physical one, isn't
well,
it?
Well, it is, and that's what training horses is all about.
Sure, but it has to be a good day. If you don't like something, you won't do it again, and it's the same with horses. You
and
have to keep them enjoying it.
There's the time.
You are enjoying this, aren't you, David?
I am loving it.
Sorry, go on, I interrupted you.
Yeah, but then there's a time to make a decision whether, you know, we have to, you know, up it a bit and make him do it, and then you're waiting on ground, rain, you know, when you school on grass. I find the horses that school on synthetic surfaces, that run off synthetic surfaces, don't jump as well as horses that run off, that are schooled on grass.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I think when we get out onto the grass and school our horses, I mean, it's much different to when you get to the race course, and that's the beauty of all them.
Small, simple things as well, though.
Yeah.
Synthetic surfaces usually have rails on each side. So the jump is railed in. So when you put them out in the field and the jump is isolated in the middle of the field, all of a sudden the horse is lost.
Yeah.
So small little things.
So that you're fully replicating the real experience more than that.
Trying to.
Okay.
And it's amazing how quick that little duck and dive comes out of them when you school them on grass, but they'll keep it when they're.
And how easy a horse gets rid of you. You'll see it even in a few minutes in McFabulous' race. When a horse ducks and you're gone, you've no way back on.
Okay, well, Dennis, I hope that answers your question. I think it does. When you rejoin us, we'll be having a look at the novice chasers.
And here's today's favourite, number 4, First to Feel Rain. And you can see why, Gina.
He must be 20 hands at least.
Just loves the big occasion.
Feature at stud, Gina.
Not sure, Matt. Unlikely to be wanted for breeding. Worthy favourite, Matt?
Definitely the favourite, Gina.
The jackpot is up to 100k this Saturday with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win. Enter for free online. Paddy Power.
Welcome back to Road to Cheltenham with our special guest, Davey Russell. We're now going to have a look at the novice chasers, and we saw something very exciting yesterday, didn't we? There were only 3 of them at Warwick, but John Bond took on Mon Miral, and West Cork was there, and he's a Greatwood Hurdle winner, and he was left behind. This was great, wasn't it?
Left behind is an understatement. It was, and it was interesting from Flagfall. John Bond and Mon Miral, Aidan Coleman, Harry Cobden, they jumped out and they went, and they rattled down to the first fence. West Cork was always happy behind them. Both were good at the first. West Cork to his right. Fourth fence, both attacked it, and fifth fence, both had to get quite close. But they were still good at it. John Bond, 6 from home, he was brilliant at it. He was. Fourth last was possibly his only mistake, gets in underneath it, but kept his hind end low, he wouldn't dislike it. Good again at the third last. Interesting when he lands though, Aidan Coleman, 2 taps on the shoulder and sends him forward. He wanted to use stamina, very good at the second last, and then down to the last race over, slows him right down, right in, pops it, and then squeezes him, makes him work from there home again. I don't think there's anything wrong with what Mon Miral did. He'll want a little bit further, and West Cork, could he be a grand annual horse or something along those lines? He's not quite a graded chaser. Somewhere along the way, my wrong race, maybe in Sandown, something like that. But what I mean is, grade one horse, possibly a grade one horse at a trip in Mon Miral, and West Cork's going to have to be a handicapper.
What's your take, Davey?
Yeah, I loved it. Harry Cobden done the right thing. You know, he was going to test him down over the first couple, and he just wasn't good enough. Aidan Dunn kept it nice and simple, the horse. I thought was very interesting was the fourth fence, when both of them were going fast, upsides, and both of them had to squeeze. Both horses knew exactly what they were doing. As a starting point for the season ahead, you'd be very pleased. Loads of improvement to come, but I'm sure it's all there.
I was taken with both of them. Harry Cobden has said that he felt the Mon Miral blew up 3 out, and he's actually advised Paul Nicholls to stick at the 2 miles and go for the Henry VIII, so there might be a rematch. What was your reaction?
Yeah,
to
which
that?
Look, I mean, that's something Harry Cobden knows that we don't.
Yeah.
So, but having listened to Paul Nicholls on his show last week, he didn't exactly fill me with confidence as to how Mon Miral had schooled. So I was probably glad to see him jump the way he did.
I thought he jumped fabulously. I think they're both, like you, I think they're both grade one horses, but Mon Miral ultimately up and tripped.
Yeah, and you well know it too. I think that's a bit of a myth too with horses that don't school great at home. I always like to see them on the track first.
Mm-hmm.
You'd often see a horse at home that just mightn't jump as well you'd like. They're confined spaces, but when they're rolling along, and it can work vice versa.
No matter who you are, it's hard to make yourself go fast enough in your schooling.
Yeah.
Some horses rely on speed to jump.
Whereas if you have 2 class horses going at it against each other,
yeah, in
these
good
two
company there. There was no one pricking their ears or looking or ducking at them. They jumped out and they raced, and I'd say both horses came out of it really well. The 3 of them came out well. You know, they all put in a perfect good round of jumping, and as Harry Cobden said, where is the improvement going to come for him, and or is John Bond going to keep improving, or is he going to stay there?
Which you could easily do.
Yeah.
Exciting, isn't it? Let's have a look at another really good race. This was the Arkle Trial at Cheltenham on Saturday. And Ruby, we'd picked out Banbridge for his very, very good debut at Goran Park already. This was a step on.
It was, but it was his jumping, Lydia. He was obviously his best run over hurdles at 2.5, but 2 miles in chase. The fences have made him quicker. He's so fast through the air. He was brilliant at the first and the second. Now the third and fourth fences, watch Tommy's Oscar at the back. He's just a bit slower. He loses half a length, and again at this one, he loses a bit further. Fifth fence, Glory and Fortune in the sheepskin Osman White Cap, makes the first of a couple of mistakes he makes. Pendant Hills gets this one wrong. Glory and Fortune gets the next one wrong, which was the 8, and then off the home turn, Pendant Hills, well, what do you expect? Triumph Hurdle Horse, it's going to one further. That's what it looked like here. We lose Glory and Fortune at the second last when he tips up, and that allows Banbridge to stride right away from Tommy's Oscar with some more solid jumping. But he's a horse that stays, Davey, but he's so fast from A to B, down in trip, has suited him. Could suit him.
Yeah, I love this type of horse.
Yeah.
Very uncomplicated. Ride him handy, point him in the right direction. And if you're keeping, it's nothing worse when you're riding a horse that you're wanting to slow it down and there's someone just doesn't want to slow it down.
Yes.
I love riding, I love that. Just keep clicking, and JJ's good at that as well. You know what I mean? They suit each other.
Joseph O'Brien said afterwards that the Drinmore would probably come a bit too soon. He wasn't keen on meeting Deep Grand, so the Faheen is probably out on St. Stephen's Day.
That leaves Leopardstone.
Yeah.
Long run from the second, only two fences in the last five furlongs though.
Yeah, that's the other side of it too.
But stamina, he stays well.
Yeah, but when you have a very good jumper, you know, you'd love to see the finishing fences in the finish to make the most of it. But
am I sensing from the both of you that you think he's going to be just as effective at 2 miles and then over further?
Yeah, I think, I'm not making the comparison, but Fences made Gallop and Deschamps a quicker horse as a novice chaser. Just his power through the air, and Fences made Banbridge a faster horse.
Yeah, I was really impressed by him.
Right.
It was just like worry the 2 miles, but I rode against him in Gorn, and his jumping was unbelievable, and he proved there that I'd say stepping back could be just as much of a help as a hindrance.
Mm. And looking further back, Tommy's Oscar, I felt like the Cheltenham Fences looked just a little bit of an effort for him.
Just looked too big for him, but he was a good hurdler. He only had one run in Carlisle. He could step forward. To me, all he needs is confidence. He doesn't want a bad experience. More confidence, he'll get a bit braver.
I didn't think he lacked the braveness. I just think it's just a bit, physically, just a bit of an effort for him. Do you know what I mean?
He's a big enough horse, would you believe he ran an 8 point of points?
Did he?
Yeah, he fell first him out, and he was second a number of times, and he won his last one, but he was with Colin Bowen. He ran an 8 point of points, and I was thinking that when he would go chasing, that he might just actually push on past his hurdle form.
Right.
There's so many good horses around, I'm not quite sure he will.
It's certainly build on Carlisle.
No, but having said that, all the winners were on the pace at Cheltenham Friday, Saturday. He dropped in. You know, different changing ground might change that around a little bit too.
Very interesting you say about the pace and Cheltenham being on the pace. It was the exact same as the meeting beforehand.
Yeah.
And if you weren't on the money in Cheltenham, it was very, very hard to get into the races.
Okay. And was that down to the slick conditions?
I don't know. Did change the track from year to year, from different parts
you were out. You were out wide, but maybe just good ground. And I'd say guys in front, more the riders in front, not going too fast. They were judging it better.
Glory and Fortune in Pentland Hills, are they ever going to make chases?
Glory and Fortune's a long way to go. Pentland Hills, it's 2 years since you won a train for a bit more. I'd say he just wants a trip.
Let's look next at Three Stripe Life, shall we? He won a Nace Beginner's Chase. We'll start with Ruby's view, and then we'll hear from the person who actually rode him. Three Stripe Life, Ruby.
Yeah, look, it was self and Grand Jury. Unfortunately, Grand Jury suffered a fatal fall at the second last. But I thought Three Stripe Life jumped well. I actually thought he jumped better when he was behind Grand Jury than he was when he was in front. He was a bit careful early on. That's the fifth fence over there. In close, he was really quick with Davey, and Davey didn't have to pull him back to shorten him. He knows how to do it himself. He was good at the last. Decent performance, but when he was the last Davey Russell, he was on his back.
Yeah, well, I was a bit of a soft spot for him anyway, you know, but again, you'd be very pleased by the way he would have done things. As Corbin said after the race, we done everything, we made the run when we dropped in, and we came back and led, you know, from two out. So I just took really well. I just love riding beginner chases around Nace. It's a lovely place to start them. You're straight line to all your fences. You're rarely on the turn bar, the ditch down the back, and that's not even a turn. He just had a pleasant experience. Now he's got next step. It looks like it could be the Fairy House, and that's a huge step up from a beginner's chase to a Grade One. So you know, we'll see. But he's had a lot of experience over hurdles, and he's a Grade One winner over hurdles.
Yeah, Aintree, and he's also run up against the top flight novices from last season, both at Cheltenham and Punchestown as well, and acquitted himself well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he'd done the same over hurdles. He went from a maiden to a Grade One and ran really, really well, finishing second to Sir Gerhard. So you know, he's capable of doing it.
How far do you think he'll stay?
Yeah, he's another horse. He can run over any trip. It wouldn't have bothered me if he started a beginner's over 2 miles, because he's enough pace for that. Mm-hmm. And you could do, as we were saying about Dandridge, you could click him along, and even he might jump a bit more extravagant over 2 miles because you'd be taking out a stride. And it wouldn't bother me that he'd go up to 3 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, ground dependent, I suppose, you know, extremes of any ground would probably make a difference to what trip you'd be going on.
Okay.
But he's very versatile, he could go over any trip.
Let's have a look at his stable companion, Hollow Games. He made a very taking debut in what looked like quite a competitive race at Navan.
Yeah, obviously Willie took out Flamebearer, but look, same thing. Booked out good and handy, pinged the first fence. Second fence, slightly out to his right, but look, Shortens were very good at the third fence. Seven fence, Jack doesn't have to move on him again, like Three Stripe Life. Shortens himself, doesn't have to take him back. Very sure what he was doing. Quickened down over the second last, flew the last when they were going a bit quicker, and stayed at it. Well, he's a horse that'll get further, but a bit like Nace, Navan's another great track to start at, and he's a horse open to both distances, but you'd love the way he hit the line with the acceleration he had. And again, very sure of what he's doing. He's able to get in close and stand back and have a cut.
He looks like he's going to be a better chaser.
Yeah, he definitely looks that way. And the ground was it was good, nice ground. It was safe, but he, for a big, imposing horse, he actually likes a bit of nice ground. So that real deep, heavy ground during the winter just might not be ideal for him. But he'll handle Fairy House and then Leopardstown in that place, he'll be fine. Yeah.
Heartwood looked pretty decent as well in second.
Yeah, horse a bit of a surprise, but I mean, yet again, Henry, horse that was so, looking to be a lot better as a chaser.
Yeah, he's only a 4-year-old after winning a novice handicap, wasn't it? A listed handicap in France.
In Auto, yeah.
Yeah, he's by Cair de Nord, who's a relatively new stallion, who's actually putting his hand up to be okay. So he quitted himself very well.
He did, yeah, big time.
There's some horses further back as well that caught my eye. Get My Drift maybe for handicaps.
Came home really
lace.
Well.
For the mare's race, potentially. Wasn't sure about Colonel Mustard.
No, a bit disappointing, and Carrick Sam as well, but look, time will tell. I mean, there'll be loads of winners out of that beginner chase, as there will be from behind Three Stripe Life, and from behind Jerry Calam in a minute.
But first, McFabulous at Exeter. You will remember that he went to Wincanton to make his debut behind Hang In There in a Grade 2 and was pulled up quite sharply because Harry Cobden feared that he'd gone wrong. Here, there was plenty going on with Campron and Seating at the first.
Yeah, Campron Jinx, like we said, schooling, Aidan Coleman is gone. Bit high, maybe, the next fence, McFabulous. And when he had a look on the approach, he ducked left and right, was better at the last fence with a circuit to go. And, you know, Campron does get in the way then. Six fence, he's having a look. But is it Campron? Whereas at that fence, he wins it. That was the first fence, the 10th, that he was out through the air. Harry Cobden was intent on not getting anywhere near McFabulous and stays well clear of him all the way up the straight, or tries to, pings the second last, but puts down at the last and gets himself out of it. I think he jumps McFabulous. It's a little bit high, and he's definitely going to want confidence. He's the kind of horse that you'd hate to see making a bad mistake or getting a fall, because I think he could back right off and get quite high. He's a big engine, but he's going to rely a lot on good experiences and confidence.
That was pretty much the story of his hurdling career as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's...
Harry Cobden couldn't really ride a conventional race there, could he though, Dave? Because he was always wary of the loose horse.
Yeah, and you know, there's so much going on in your sight line, and you're trying to keep away. You're trying to. I actually thought he acquitted himself very well. I just think maybe the key with McFabulous is to be ground. I think extremes of soft ground would test his jumping. I loved what he done at the last. If you're in trouble, but if you're looking for an extravagant jumper over a sharp trip, not ideal. But he was quick at it. I just think really soft ground would make them fences a little bit bigger, but on better ground come the likes of Aintree and maybe Punchestown or someplace like that, you could see him coming back into the fray, you know.
Punchestown might be interesting because Paul Nicholls always said that he needed to go right-handed, didn't
yeah.
he? That's what he used to say about him. Right, you've mentioned Jerry Calam. Let's see him. He's a lightly raced horse. He's unbeaten in multi-disciplines, and now he's unbeaten over fences as well under rules. This was a really nice performance.
It was, but his main rival, Bron, didn't jump anywhere near as well as him. Jerry Calam was quite good. Bron was pretty hit and miss behind him. He's a strong stayer, jumped beside Sam's profile, five out, jumped up to him again at the third last. Jack Kennedy was under no illusion as to how much stamina he has, and he just kept piling it on here. It's a really strong stare. Love the height he gave the last. Big jump, loads left in the tank, and sees it out well. Tenzing runs on well to almost nab Bron at the line. Bron has to brush up his jumping, but Jerry Calam, who's been fragile, is probably a wrong word, but he hadn't run since last January. Obviously, something went amiss. Maybe he wants really testing ground, but he's a really strong staying horse.
What is the right word if it's not fragile?
I don't know. He does enjoy really heavy ground, and they've just minded him, maybe, but he's unbeaten, so, you know,
yeah.
He hasn't done anything wrong yet. His jumping is brilliant, but he's a lazy horse. He's behind the bridle sort of horse, so ground conditions help him to be when others may struggle on it, he will really travel on it and jumps like a buck. And you know, he's a stayer.
He is three up or leapt 3 miles Leopardstown of Christmas, 10 up in Navan. There's a 3 mile in Naas as well. You could see him in all those long distance races.
Yeah, but then again, you see a heavy deep ground conditions, that turns into a slog.
Yeah, but he's going to have to clash against maybe Three Shine Life, Hollow Games. You know, you have to. Gordon Eddy has a slice and dice here. Make him all count.
Yeah, so ultimately he's going to have to go up. I agree that Bron didn't jump well at all, but that was the kind of a feature of that race. The only horse that really jumped really well is the winner.
Conditions were tough now. You may not have seen it there, but they were. I was supposed to ride, I didn't run, and I walked out in the track and the ground was soft.
Right.
So if you were in behind, it was hard to make up ground and jump well. You know, you either done one or the other. You either jumped really well and didn't make up any ground, or you were trying to chase the race and your jumping might have suffered because of that.
Okay. Last one we're going to have a look at is the real Wacko. I've got fondness for this horse. I liked his run when second behind Marla Mission in the River Don last season, and now on Chase Eddie he's come out and won. Horses with more experience against him.
Yeah, exactly. But look, the horse in second was the interesting one, Bardenstown Lad, who had been third in last year's Albert Bartlett, but he didn't jump well at all. Backed off the second, lands on the fourth. Yeah, he's one of those horses that's gone back over hurdles, you would imagine, if he's going to be a classy one. But Indigo Breeze arrived down beside the real Whacker, looking like he was going to take him. But to be fair to the real Whacker, he just outbattles Indigo Breeze, Davy, who you rode behind Van Bridge at Gorn.
That's right. He's good old form in the book, and... you know, it's a good level of form. You know what I mean? It's hard to knock it.
That's a very polite way of saying you're not certain how good that form is, and he has to improve again. We'll read between the lines for you.
Well, you know, if you're going to beat Dandridge, he's going to have to improve plenty, because Dandridge pushed our horse away, you know, pretty easy. But you know, he's going to have to keep stepping up. For me, he's a horse there that's kind of stuck. I'd love to see the likes of that horse in a William Hill chase at the festival.
Is this Indigo Breeze?
The real Whacker.
Right,
I'm just not sure if he's the real top horse that you could say going on to be a Gold Cup horse. So you know, if you got experience along the year, I'd love to see him, the likes of him. And
actually, I think that's a better shout. I was going to say National Hunt Chase, because I see him as that sort of really old-fashioned stage chaser, ultimately.
You need to be more hardened.
Yeah,
you need more runs. And nowadays, you kind of need to be a Gold Cup horse also to win a four-mile chase. So, you know...
It's the National Hunt Chase, so you need 3 miles and six.
Yeah, National Hunt Chase. So,
as I've been reminded on several occasions.
It's not the real slog. You know, you need a quality horse to win that also.
Yeah. I really like how the real Wacker reacted. He made a couple of mistakes, and at the next fence he came up really well, particularly 2 out to 1 out.
I didn't think there were massive mistakes either. I never looked at him and thought, oof, I thought he was well able to jump.
Yeah, he warmed up as the race went on. Let's have a look at the National Hunt Chase betting, shall we? I don't think the real Wacker features, but a horse that Davey has ridden recently does, and that's Chemical Energy. You kept wide, didn't you, in October when you went on him?
Yeah, it was just the ground had broken up really, really fast on the inside, and I just felt I actually started on the inside because Henry's horse had a tendency to go right. He didn't jump right, so I moved back out to the better ground, and the minute I moved out, the complexion of the race changed immediately. My horse was much happier. My horse jumped really, really well. His jumping was a little bit to be desired with at the start of his career, but now since this stall on Cheltenham, he's one of them horses that's got that bit of confidence. Every day it seems to be getting better and better, and you know, the likes of 4 Mile Chase, Jamie Codd or Barry O'Neill or whoever it is going to ride him would be very interesting.
She's been dying to talk about him. I wouldn't put him in last week. Chemical Energy.
Yeah, I actually like the horse. He's done very, very little wrong. He just keeps knocking away there. He was never really a herder. I do think that an extreme, you know, once I got onto the better ground in Cheltenham, the fresher ground wasn't that bad that day. I know we had a lot of rain and it looked bad, but it wasn't that bad. And again, come March, if the ground is drying, whichever Cheltenham we're going to get, the wet one or the dry one.
Yeah.
You know, if you get a dry one, I would, you know, he does handle a bit of nice ground.
Okay. All right, so that's our update on the novice chases. There was plenty to go at, and I'm sure it'll be the same next week. But next we're going to move on to the 2 mile chases. Now, there should have been plenty to go at, but sadly, for a variety of reasons, there wasn't. Let's start with the Schlur, with Nubinegra becoming the third back-to-back winner, and it was pretty much a school run.
Yeah, we didn't learn anything new other than that Nubinegra can make the run and doesn't have to be held up forevermore. Ganapati and Daily Tiger has a look at the first, but but that was it then. He attacked the second fence for Harry Skelton, flew that down to the third last, always in control. Second last, he gets to it, he's nice and neat, pings it, and same at the last, and it's all over. It's a school round, but a nice school for 56,000 or 49,000 or whatever it was. And he's a good winner. Dan feels he has unfinished business in the champion chase. I have a feeling it'll remain unfinished with this fella.
Slightly unlucky 2 years ago behind Put the Kettle On. Pulled out on the morning of the Queen Mother Champion Chase last season because of the rain falling on watered ground. He's talking about going Desert Orchid and then the festival. I'd run him in the Dublin Chase as well if he was mine.
You see, I don't know, the likes of Nuba Negra, I don't know the horse, I don't know much of it, whether he needs to be fresh or whatever, but the likes of him, I would be running him in every possible opportunity I could. He collect prize money after prize money after prize money. I'd take him to Desert Orchid, Dublin Racing Festival, Punchestown, everywhere he could go, I'd take him.
Yeah, the local show.
Because he's one of them horses that, you know, he's always going to find one better, but you never know on one of them days you could just...
But you need to be into him.
You need to be into him, yeah. I'd love to, if I had him now, I'd love to be running him every time there was a two-man chase.
Listen to the man. Right, let's have a look at the Poplar Square, shall we? This went to Jeremy's Flame after plenty of accidents.
Yeah, look, only three really counted anyway. Gentleman to Me, Jeremy's Flame, Course Sublime, and they jumped up, and that's the race, the way the race was set up. Gentleman to Me makes the running, pings the ditch opposite the stands and gets himself a bit of ground. Fourth last again, Mark squeezes him and he's good, but third last, Gentleman to Me in front hits this a fair old thud. You can see the palm off the apron getting kicked up into the air, but by the second last, Course Sublime is all over him. To the last, who was going to win, not sure. Course Sublime hurdles it and knuckles over, sort of eventually brings down Gentleman to Me, and that leaves the race fit Jeremy Slane to come home in front. Disappointed from Gentleman to Me, but his first run over fences wasn't spectacular either, and he improved a hell of a off for the run.
Did he need the run last year?
Looked like it.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. On looking at the card beforehand, he was giving away weight, needed a run. I thought it was an ideal opportunity for
Course Sublime
to go and win a graded race.
Jeremy's Flame, does that open up options? Do you think she could be the kind?
She got sixth in mare last year.
She's a quality.
Would she get 2.5?
I think she would. The different days she seems to be, she can get very highly strung, and you know, different days she runs different types of races. But in Galway, she, you know, her
good run,
in
yeah.
Galway, she, I'd suggest she'd stay. I think she would stay 2.5.
Yeah, me too.
I wouldn't. She's a kind of a filly you could travel now. You could go to there might be more opportunities in England for her.
You think there is Carlisle, Newbury, a lot of them are over further. Not that many mares chases. Well, there's a brilliant mares novice program in Ireland. The open program is not great this time of year. We have one in Clonmel this afternoon, but I think the next mayor's open chase in Ireland is Naas in January.
Right. Yeah,
that's something that needs to build. Then
it's building, and we're getting the mayors for it. And it's the likes of Jeremy's Flame, Ellie May,
yeah,
and there's a couple more. I actually had them in my head this morning. But that mayor's chase will grow and develop, and because not every horse will be one horse.
I'm not sure it will. I just have a thing.
Go on, you're more into breeding than me.
Yeah, I just have a thing that, you know, if you have a quality mare that's after winning hurdle races, novice chases, and, you know, how long are you going to keep her racing? It's okay, you know, JP and them big owners, and JP does like to breed, and Jigginson like to sell, and, you know, how long are they going to stay chasing? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
because they have that other avenue to go down,
yes,
to become brood mares and produce stock. So, like, once you get your bumper novice hurdle, novice chase season out of the way, you're into kind of a 7-year-old mare, maybe an 8-year-old mare. The whole thing about this breeding program is to get them breeding earlier, younger, so that they can, and you get more stock out of them. So, you know, if you have a quality mare, novice, and then you have the chance of risking them, you know, where do you pull the plug, where do you don't?
Yes.
So I'm just not sure about that open.
It's the competing
mares.
Tensions, racing and breeding, isn't it?
It is, it but is. That's the commercial versus
the
sport.
And then when you have an owner that just want to race and run, there is
that's it. You encourage more of those people to buy mares, because mares can be sold again, and then they might reinvest again. So
and
I hope it works.
The other side of it then is if mares got racing earlier, as in 3-year-olds,
yes,
then they would be younger. For the open season.
And we'll change it all.
Yeah.
Push back to 11 o'clock show.
Really interesting this. I'm going to have to drag you back to the 2 milers. Let's have a look at the Fortria chase, shall we? It was won by Captain Guinness, beating Riviere d'Etel. She had the ability to win, though, didn't she?
She did, but I think this is a mare that's going to step up the trip high into her right at the first stretch of Blackmore. Took her straight off her, pings the second on Captain Guinness, who's a real two-miler, very quick. First fence down the hill, got in close, but the mare gave it away. Fourth last fence, another couple of lengths. Second last, third last, out to her right. Captain Guinness true and straight. Second last, again, another mistake from the mare, but Captain Guinness is gone. Like, I think she'll step up and trip. Not like her to go as right, though, Debbie, was it?
She has done in the past.
Yeah.
She has done in the past, maybe a little bit more on Sunday.
Just don't remember her giving it away behind Ferny Hollow.
No, it was more exaggerated though, wasn't it, previously?
But in Cheltenham she done it, going left-handed. Where was Ferny Hollow?
Leopardstown.
Leopardstown, yeah, but as you know, with Leopardstown, you go
straight
to the middle,
line, yeah.
You go to the middle of the fence in Leopardstown, you don't go that right. And you're dead right about what I said. She has stamina, but she's quite keen and she likes to run now, she likes to go, so that's...
4 year-olds, when they get two as well as they get at four,
well,
95% of them want five.
She's the one.
That's the one I couldn't think of earlier.
Right,
she's
okay.
The for the open chases now, yeah. And she will step up.
She'll
be hard to beat now in the mare's chases, you know.
The Mrs. Paddy Power as well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Left-handed track.
New track, her, Jeremy's Flame.
She needs to go, well, it's right, she goes right.
Yes, so. I know, but I was thinking she's only run, and with the Fred Winter and the Arcus, she's only on the old course. At least the new course is more galloping, it's not quite as tight as turning, is it? Was my only thought. Right, now we've got the excitement. Contain yourselves. Shishkin galloped on Tuesday. Let's have a look at what he did. He galloped up against Champ and Chantry House. This is the kind of stuff that excites us in Britain. Can you see him?
I can't. Well, who's riding what?
Nico's on.
Nico's on Shishkin.
Did they weigh in before or after?
I'm not sure. Went by the line quick, didn't they?
So afterwards, the news was that he seems to be recovering well. He got up from his rare bone condition that was diagnosed after he pulled up in the Queen Mother Champion Chase, you remember. The scans seemed to be good. Nicky Henderson would only say that the Tingle Creek was part of the plan. It's not a definite, but it's a possible. Let's have a look.
That's because he's afraid of you. If he says it's the plan and it doesn't happen, it's just he's getting cleverer, Nicky. Fair play to you.
I did see him school. I did see him school on some video on Twitter, and to be fair, he looked pretty awesome now down over a fence. I would never really take too much about the piece of work, but
yes.
He schooled with John Bond and something else, and it was on Twitter, and he looked good.
We know at his best. I mean, at his best he's down at Nurgelin, and he wasn't the best at
Well, she looks in the air intrigue. I hope he stays right anyway.
Now, did we show the Tingle Creek entries? I don't know if we did in the betting. If we did, I missed them. Let's have a look at them. Okay, so Captain Guinness, after having won the Fortria, he's been finished third behind Grenadine. He goes there. Ferny Hollow is entered there, as is Gentleman Demi. What's the thinking? Do you think one of those will turn up?
Well, I'd say Willie wouldn't be overly keen on pitching Ferny Hollow in against Enogramine in the hilly way, so he's trying to create options. If he keeps him for the John Durkin and goes up to 2.5, he'd more than likely have Shaq and Pursuit and probably Gallop and the Champ to take on. So be interesting to see where he goes. I'll try to try and find the race somewhere for him.
Edwardston, of course, is in that race. He was entered at Ascot on Saturday, and he has actually been declared, as I understand it. So that's interesting. A handicap at Ascot he is running in. There he is, taken out on ground described as good, although some organisations, including Timeframe, for example, suggested the ground was more like good to soft. The racing post disagreed and said that Cheltenham was actually good as described.
I was there, but I didn't go out and look. Doesn't really bother me anymore.
The jockey told me he was a bit dead. Mm-hmm. So that would say good soft. Good, slower than good. Yeah.
Slower than good, yeah.
What did you think of Edwardston last season?
Best novice chaser last season, over 2 miles.
Definitely, yeah.
In the Anglo-Irish classifications, it was Gentleman Demi by £3.
And that's why he's running him in the handicap, because he knows he's £3 well in.
This had surprised me all last year. Just kept on going and going and jumping and running and jumping and, you know, typical, you know, getting back to the likes of Banbridge that we spoke about, mm-hmm. You know, similar type of horse. Mm-hmm. Nothing flash, but gets it done.
Yeah.
Do you see him going up in trip at all, potentially?
You see, the options, Andrew, it's kind of, if you're going to be a championship horse, like Bear, you're going, you're Ryanair, but in between, like, do you go... Do you stay 2 miles until the Ryanair, mm-hmm. or, you know, when do you go up? What are the options?
Ascot Chase,
that's it.
Yeah, really, that's it. He's not going to the Peterborough, obviously, because he's running Saturday. So, I suppose you find out when you get on Saturday. If he doesn't win the handicap, or having said that, is there to have got beaten the handicap before he won a champion chase. But
I think it's a good option. You're going to find out a lot, plenty in a race like that at Ascot, and I think it should suit him as well, the way it's run.
Better look.
Yeah.
Fernambu Savola, is he in?
No.
He was entered. No, he's out.
He was top weight, but Edwardson is now top weight. Let's have a look at Fernie Hollow and Energumen. You've mentioned, Willie has said that he wants to try and keep them apart. He didn't want to run Fernie Hollow at the weekend because of the ground. So that Tingle Creek is an option. Otherwise, they both meet in the Hilly Way, don't they? Or is there something else?
Hilly Way is close enough to Christmas. It's the 11th of December. So one runs in the Hilly Way and one waits for Christmas. That's the other option, I suppose.
Who's better at their best, Energumen or Shishkin last season
Yeah, toss of a coin. Shishkin, I had a wicked soft spot for Shishkin. But Energumen went and done it in Cheltenham. I'm edging on the side of Shishkin,
okay.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, but Energumen probably has more scope to improve.
Right.
Where Shishkin was there, and that's the only thing. Maybe this might be the season that Energumen pushes on past Shishkin, but I thought Shishkin was a better horse last year, obviously until Cheltenham and the mishap. But
and all well with Energumen,
I think. All well with Energumen.
Okay. Various different pronunciations, I noticed that.
Energumen, Energumen, I don't
know. Anyone has picked up Gary O'Brien on it as well at the weekend as well, and played the trump card of my French staff, pronounce it this way. Okay, end of arguments. Right.
If we speak English French, not French English.
Yeah. I try to anyway.
I don't even speak any French. Barely speak English.
You said Riviera d'Italie, that's perfectly fine.
And Caer de Nor, but that's, you know. As far as it goes, Marche and Trotte are about as much as they know.
Right, well, we're speaking your language, which is the language of horse racing. Let's have a look at the social poll, shall we? We asked you this question. Which novice hurdling mare are you sweetest on currently? And we gave you the options of A, Astro Diamond, B, Harmonia Maker, C, Deeply Superficial, and D, Magical Zoe. Let's take them in turn before we find out who you voted for. A, Astro Diamond, a winner against the boys at Nace on Saturday.
Yeah, tough performance, stayed really well, obviously won the bumper at entry last year. Yeah, it was a good performance from her. Battled well to win an ace on Sunday under Paul Townend, and she should improve a fair bit for it, but it's still a maiden hurdle.
Yeah, she landed a bit unbalanced, but managed to get on top.
Yeah, I think you could ask of her now. I think she was lost plenty of momentum at the last. Now, the only thing with Nacy is you have that time to pick it up, and she showed her riddle class. I think there's a load of improvement, and she looked big enough before the race. Now, I'd say, you know, fitness-wise and experience-wise, I think she's classy.
Okay. B was Harmonia Maker.
I was impressed with her in Ferry House on Tuesday. Jumped out, made all, jumped to her left. Probably better going the other way around, but absolutely, when Davy has told you how heavy the ground was there. The mare behind her was Ella Law off Gavin Cromwell's. And we're going to see her again in a second. She got very tired battling Betsy back in third. I thought that was a good performance.
She's a lovely filly. You know, she's a year older now. She's a year more sensible. And she's a year stronger, so I could see her finishing off getting the full season over, where last year it just kind of caught up in her a little bit. But she's matured lovely, and she's a classy filly now, so she's a good filly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next we have C, Deeply Superficial.
I like this one, and Dave, you're older, so you can talk about her, but this mare really impressed me in Galway.
Yeah, and there was loads of things that... I was very pleased with her, because she had a look at her hurdles. She is very good to jump, but had a look and wasn't as quick. And I think all of them things, you know, after the run are going to iron out, and she's going to be an awful lot better. I like her now. She's a lovely filly. Okay. Really, really excited about her.
For the now, this is the one I like. D, Magical Zoe.
Yeah, quickened up well at the north. I think the race played to her strengths, though. I thought they went pretty quick in front. Adrian Heskin dropped her in. Nick Keeney and the Model Kingdom went at each other to the second last, and it opened the door for Magical Zoe to run over the top of them. Good performance. I think she got a really good ride on the day. But look, before the results come up, if you're offering me one, I'd take the filly Davy Road in Galway.
I assume you're there as well.
Yeah, I'm mad about my own. I was impressed by Magical Zoe as well.
Okay.
Well, Magical Zoe is more done. You know, and the rest of them are first time out.
Yeah.
She's gone and won a listed of Grade 3.
Grade 3, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of what they've done now,
she's ahead of them, yeah.
Let's have a look at what you thought. you thought Ashrow Diamond, didn't you? Marginally, though, 33.9%
of
votes.
William Orland's team, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It is.
Or it might just be that it was A, and that's as far as everyone got. No, I don't.
No, your viewers. Are
you said that. You viewers, said that. No.
Your viewers are an awful lot more intelligent than that. They can get to D. As for the camera staff, I'm sure what some of them.
My viewers know I'm joking. I do hope so. Anyway, right. Let's have a look at some other novice performances, shall we? Emez Allen. We managed to beat the fourth or fifth string of Billy Wellens and Gordon Elliott at the weekend.
Loved the way he jumped, giving a really good ride again on the pace at Cheltenham. This was last Friday. Thought he jumped super for Harry Cobden. Winged the first, winged the second. Magic Drive is second behind him. He ultimately finishes second. Obviously, the horse of Twistons, as we've all been caught, he looked very green and raw, made a few mistakes, and he improved throughout the race. But from a long way out, there's only going to be one winner, and that was Hermes Allen. You always wanted to be on him. Coasted down the hill to the third last. Gets in really deep to the second last, but he's really quick at it. And dances in front of this one and just scoots way up the hill. Good performance. Music Drive's a solid horse. Hugh Briscoe got well outrun, but maybe the one to come out of it will be We've All Been Caught. And yes, the horse at the back was really disappointing. Collector's item.
Yeah, I can see We've All Been Caught if stepped up and tripped. What did you make of the winner, David?
Yeah, very, it looked to be a lovely horse. Again, you know, pleasure to watch the way he jumped and galloped, and lovely attitude. You know, polyglot, I'd say. You know, stamina is not going to be an issue. I thought you might see him in a three miler rather than the middle distance race,
right.
But that's, you know, not knowing much about it, I just thought that he could do that all day long. He could just jump and gallop and go that speedy, and he has a bit of class to do that over 3 miles, you know.
Okay, let's have a look at the Sky Bet Supreme trial, shall we? That was won by Fenacross.
Yeah, look, loads of hurdles on Mater again because of the sun on Sunday. She's electric, went a decent enough gallop in front, round by the first hurdle. But look, and they all jumped okay. There was nothing stuck out or nothing that was wrong with any of them. Springwell John Joss or Springwell Bay was really well fancied, but down to the third last, 7 of the 8 can still win, which was second last. Fenacross looks one of the more unlikely winners at this point in the white sleeves and the green colours under Simon Torrens, but he keeps at it really well, and some of them fade. I thought She's Electric had done well considering how keen she had been, but Fenacross outstayed them. And I'm not sure, Lydia, it was a hard race to get a gauge on. Fenacross stays really well. Did I jump up and down thinking, wow, no?
No.
Mayo
went a bit too hard, didn't she? She's faded a bit up the hill. I think Yukantaga's probably overcompensated for dropping out and has then made his move quite quickly. Yeah. I don't know.
The fillies wouldn't have mentioned Leno, isn't she? She just goes. I'd say the track is not not ideal for, as we always, horses work towards the front of the pace, but she overdone it maybe a little bit, as in herself.
Yes.
I'd say the winner is, he's another horse then that doesn't strike you as a supreme novice horse.
No, he doesn't.
He just doesn't strike you as a supreme novice. So he's one of them horses, just step him up and trip, or just, I don't know, is he 2 miler, is he 2.5 miler?
You have 2 more runs and go for the county.
Yeah, that's what I'd be thinking.
I suspect so too. I think there's going to be better form that eclipses this level of form.
I think so. I rode in the maiden hurdle that he won in Cheltenham, and it was a race. You know, it was, you know, a competitive race, but it wouldn't strike you as, you know, this horse is going to hit the roof.
It's quite a decent race. Isn't there a graded race at Doncaster later on the season that She Is Electric might be, because of that flat track?
Yeah, 2 miles away to her, yeah.
Like, might be quite good.
I live in Ireland, she'll give us a good lead for a long time.
Right, let's have a look at the four auctions, shall we? That was won by Hercule de Soy.
Jumped well. Hercule de Soy was his strongest point. Keen going horse, rocked along in front under Mark Walsh. Obviously, Imagine was in here, and the horse in Three Car Brag that David Ewell won on before that. Hercule de Soy's jumping stood out to him. I was slightly disappointed with Three Car Brag. I thought he'd travel a bit better. He came home well, and he's a horse in the McNeil colours that's stepping up and trip will be taken out of it. That said, I thought Hercule de Soy, when he missed the last, did really well to win. Up against the hill in Navin, when he missed the last, get going again, takes a bit of doing.
Three Car Brag has got to improve his jumping, hasn't he?
It'll come. He's very babyish in ways. He was in Galway, and going a little bit gear faster didn't help his jumping. So, as you're dead right, he does have to improve his jump, but he will.
Yeah, he's certainly got an engine. He was rallying nicely.
He's a good horse. He's a good horse.
And how good is Hercule?
he surprises. He keeps improving, but his jumping really suited him. I'm not sure about real testing ground for him though.
Okay, right, we're sticking with the hurdlers for the final bit of the show, and we're going to have a look at the two-milers, and the obvious place to start is the Greatwood. Much like the Supreme Trial, it was quite a depleted set of hurdles. Only 5 out of the 8 of them were actually jumped.
It was, but the winner, to be fair to him, with a lot of weight in his back, jumped out on the pace. I like to move it. Sam Twiston-Davis wanted to be in the middle of the track. Sonagina goes down the inside, bit high at the first hurdle, which was a part of his jumping, really. He didn't get much lower as he went through, but he's a strong staying horse because they didn't hang around. You see Sonogino, he's beat already, who went with him. They're round by the last hurdle, and only Jin Coco was the only horse who come from off the pace to try and close him down, who was getting plenty of weight off him. But I like to move as a strong staying horse. Nigel said he got back to the international, which would look made for him. If he's going to improve from there to whatever it be in January, he just needs to come down out of the air a little bit. He's a bit high and clean for a grade one hurdler.
If anything, his jumping was actually a little bit better than it was last season, but he's still got that to brush up, as Ruby says.
Yeah, he's maturing and he's a better horse again this year than he was last year, I feel. And I think the route he's going to take will answer all the questions, you know. And I think track is it would be a staying track like Cheltenham, mm-hmm. over 2 miles is what he wants.
I'm sure he'll be asked plenty of questions between now and the champion hurdle. He's trained by Nigel Twiston-Davis, which I'm not knocking.
He runs him, gets the most out of his horses.
I agree.
Other people could, might take a leap out of his book.
Yeah, I absolutely
make
agree.
Fill up them races, and even an entry stage, fill them up and give yourself the option.
Yeah, all power to his elbow. I'm quite serious. I totally agree with Davey. Right, let's have a look at the Fishery Lane, in which Brazil beat Phil Dore.
Yeah, look, a lot of weight involved here as well. And it was a slowly run race. Perry Dancer jumped out to goal. Fieldor was always travelling well on his outside. Brazil in the pocket. Here, away from the third last, is take your pick. Fieldor, Brazil. He misses the second last and it's race over. Brazil scoots by him and Fieldor never gets it back. But interestingly, Davey, had Fieldor been schooled over fences?
Yes.
Looked like it.
Yeah. And is that where he's going to go, do you think? Gordon was talking about that at the start of the season.
Yeah, I don't know, but it has been said that he was going to go and I was chasing, yeah.
And does he jump a fence better than he jumps two out there?
He jumped really well. Oh, geez,
I wouldn't mind that now. That's harsh.
He's a brilliant jumper.
He usually is. I remember him.
He's excellent. As a juvenile's go, he would be a juvenile that you'd just turn down into a fence and let him rock and roll. Yeah,
okay.
He's good. He's a natural jumper, yeah. Just one of them things.
How about Brazil? He won the Fred Winter. He was well beaten by Knight Salute and Pied Piper at Aintree.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that Brazil is still a full horse. And I wonder what the plan is with him. Are they going to make a stallion of him?
Yeah, well, it's...
Is that the potential? So what will they do?
It's the French way, you know.
Yeah.
Mare's been covered in France by lesser jumpers than Brazil, so it could be an option, yeah.
So then you try him... find a race somewhere to make him, or try and get him as close to winning a grade one as you can and make a stallion.
That hadn't really crossed my mind. I was aware of it in one part of my brain, but I hadn't sort of connected it with the other.
I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah.
Dangerous thing to do.
Interesting. Poirot Grosch also thinks he's a stayer, interestingly.
Could be.
Yeah. Let's have a look at the champion hurdle betting, shall we? Because that's going to be impacted this weekend. Constitution Hill is running at Ascot. Enough rain has fallen, and Honeysuckle, the insult, the dual winner unbeaten there, is 7-2 second favourite.
Can I just say something here? If Istabrak,
yeah,
was going for his third champion, or when, yeah, he was going for his third champion, or would something like that happen?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Is she not exactly the same as Istabrak?
Like, she is to me what you dream to have as a racehorse. You bring it to the race every day, and it just keeps winning and winning and winning and winning, and all people look for is something to beat.
And you take her on, you don't take her on, you get her to make the running, you take her on 5 from home, 4 from home, whenever,
yeah,
you want.
Line up outside or inside, or do what you want. Yeah.
Cover her up, don't.
I agree with all of these things. Does it not say something about the lack of depth in this division, and now Constitution Hill has come?
But that goes back, like, what's Hurricane Fly beaten? He's beaten nothing. 1,000 Stars and Solvit. You're right, yeah. He was beaten, yeah. just because they couldn't keep up with him. And people are saying the same about her. Oh, what's she beating? She's that good that unfortunately for the rest, who are probably good horses, she's just making them look way inferior.
But there's a lot of depth to the champion hurdle this year, is there not, with Volvan?
This time round, yes. But so far is more what I meant.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. From past years, yeah.
So, because if you're sort of doing it on ratings, you know, she does have a £7 allowance as well. And if you're thinking about...
She's still going to have that.
I know. But I'm talking historically in terms of how you would compare horses when the champion hurdle.
She's Easterbrook. By God, she will be in March. She most certainly will be in March.
I am not dismissing her or crabbing her in any kind of way.
Well, Easterbrook was the
best. You have to realise this is live and you're in Clonmel, so I'd get more on the Honeysuckle camp now if I was you.
It's a very good point. There's nothing to compare to Honeysuckle. She's a fabulous mare, absolutely fabulous. Pied Piper, what do you think of him? Do you think he's got... I know it's a difficult second season for
a typical juvenile, as you said, but why, you know, two runs this year. Gordon's doing a marvellous job with him, but he is the horse that you would say, you know, typical season after juvenile, he might struggle, but not struggling yet in his two races won.
Because he can be quite slick and he's got that turn of speed.
But how long he maintains it, which I've found to my detriment in entry, he doesn't maintain it for a big spell.
Right.
So
you've got to deliver him late.
Yeah. And in my defence, I was left in front way too early, but... Water under the bridge.
It's over. Yeah. It's over.
It's gone. I haven't forgotten it yet. So.
I can see.
Still hurting.
Right, let's have a look at the Coral Ascot hurdle declaration, shall we? Hurrah! Constitution Hill is there. We're going to get to see him making his seasonal debut. He's up against Bruin Up a Storm for Pleasure Utred and Goshen. Good luck, guys. Against Constitution Hill.
Yeah, and I agree. Look, last year he's favoured because of this supreme performance, and
which was devastating.
It was. Now, John Bonn and Dysart Dynamo go from the gates down over the first hurdle and they rattle, and Constitution Hill let them off. But when they steady going to the second, Constitution Hill has caught up. And from there on, Nico never lets the race away from him. As much as John Bonn takes on Dysart Dynamo, from this point on, he sticks to them. Dysart's gone on again. But look at the gap back to Mighty Potter. Top of the hill, you can see Nico here now. He starts to push Constitution Hill. He's not letting the two of those off. And by the time he gets down to the second last, he's absolutely running away. Now, why am I with Davey and so all over Honeysuckle? I think I saw Mastermind to do this and never reproduce it again. This was so good. Can a horse do it twice?
It was unbelievable to watch. I'd say he's good.
He is good.
He's got... I don't think he's... he has to keep progressing, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He has to keep doing that. You know, he's going to have to do that at the weekend, you know, and keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Because... You won't be able to judge Constitution Hill until he meets the filly.
He's got to, got to go up in the big.
So
league.
you can, he will, unless he does that all year long, he won't get near.
Again, I hate to mention the R word ratings again, but time for.
They're only opinions.
Backed up with facts and good mathematics. Timeform have him as the highest racist novice hurdler ever, better than Golden Signet. You know, that's how serious they think this horse is. And didn't he? I mean, I take your point about will they be able to repeat? Is a horse able to repeat a stellar performance like that? The race was just set up for him to express what he has.
Correct.
But he still went and did that.
Yeah.
And as a 5-year-old, did he leave it all behind him that day? Who knows?
Or he could just, as a 5-year-old, could just improve into the monster that's what they're all
saying he is.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you know, and
there's no one the ponderables.
There's no one to say he's not, but, you know...
You're right, he's got to be Honeysuckle, and, you know, so far, no horse has been able to do that. So, you know, that's what we're all looking forward to at Cheltenham in March, but there's lots of other good races we can see them in between. Right, OK, let's have a look at the Morgiana, because we've got an important Grade 1 here in Ireland on Sunday at Punchestan, and it's a Willie Mullins benefit. How many of those six is he going to run?
His intention yesterday, he said the six of them were running. I'd be amazed if he runs all six. And I wasn't there this morning, Lydia, to find out the answer. Unfortunately, I was here with you. But what do I think? I'd be surprised if he runs... There's no way he'll run six of them. There's no
way.
Sir
Gerhard, I'm going to put to you that he's not going to run Sir Gerhard and that horse goes novice chasing.
I think he could. I don't know. That'd be my choice. But it'll be interesting to see what Willie does. I think Statement and Stay Hurdling Vauban definitely does. I think that the Sir Gerhard Statement, I think Sir Gerhard will go jumping.
Should we start by looking at, having a look at Sir Gerhard? Or we are having a look at Sir Gerhard. Sorry about that.
Yeah, look, here he is, Duck Journey with me, Three Stripe Life. He's the Ballymore winner. Ballymore winners have a good record going back to champion hurdles. Way better record than Supreme Horses have. So, yeah, look, there's that bit of form. He's obviously disappointed at Cheltenham then. You have Vauban, who was very good in the Triumph. Made a mistake at the last, but should we know? We're talking about Pied Piper, Field Door. It's such a hard year for four-year-olds. He was good.
Is he going to run a four-year-old against that lot? You know,
first time out?
This time.
I think it'll be a huge ask for him. Yeah. The obvious one to me is Statement.
Right.
He's a runaway winner of the County Hurdle, and here's Vauban. Look, he does well after making that mistake to go back and beat likes of Pied Piper and Field Door. There's no doubt that he could be a champion hurdle horse, but he's still a four-year-old, and that'll be in the back of my head for the whole year. Four rides and five, I think it's really hard. Whereas Statement, I just think when you watch him in the county, the ease at which he travelled up, he'd have to. It's a handicap hurdle. But then when you watch him at Punchestown, with the ease he switched, which is, there he is at second last in the county, scoots up on the outside. But like, he's the champion hurdle horse, has to do this in the county hurdle, in my opinion. But it's the Punchestown run that you're going to see in a second. That's the one that really impressed me. The quality of horse in front of him and the ease of which he pulls out from behind them.
Where would he have finished in the Supreme Novices?
I thought for a lot of last season he was our Supremo.
You only mentioned that later.
You know, I did, yeah, because he fell at Christmas.
Two years in a row.
Flame Bearer, Kill Crut, Three Stripe Life. He's doing a half speed down the roadside.
Yeah, no, it was a good performance. Get by, it's pretty easy.
And ridden that way, that's over 2.5. He stays, he has speed. Yeah, he's the one I like.
Welcome back to Clonmel for a bonus feature that you have been promised. It's a bit colder now than it was earlier when we did the rest of the show with Davey. I've been and walked the course, which was fantastic.
Did you enjoy that, yeah?
I really enjoyed that.
Did you bring a spare shoes?
I did bring a spare pair of shoes. My companion Will Heller did not.
I know, yeah. It's just
rookie error.
You know the guy that doesn't go racing much, don't you?
The climb.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And there's so many tracks in Ireland. You've seen a few, but like Clonmel with its undulations, you really think this is a climb you should go to Downpatrick, Tramore, even Galway, the climb out of the dip in Galway. This is undulating, but we have better.
I'm looking forward to seeing them. Right, let's have a look back on what we've seen today. Should we start with the Clonmel All Chase, where Blue Lord just managed to hang on past the rallying Tornado Flyer. Looking at them beforehand, I thought Tornado Flyer of the pair looked the fitter.
He did to me in the paddock as well, but a steadily run race, quite tactical. Pretty much, Thrasso was the only fit one in there, but the other three were having their seasonal debut. Danny got the Dictator in front. Tornado jumps the way Tornado jumps. It's good, it's a little erratic, it's never spectacular, but it turned into a dash down to the second last, which suited Blue Lord, who switched to the outside, and that was the difference for me, and the difference in winning and losing. It was a jump at the second last. Tornado was way up in the air and dwelled, whereas Blue Lord went there a half a length behind, and again they got away on the landing side. He's a length and a half in front, and he gets home as Tornado rallies back to him. But look, it was a step up in trip for Blue Lord. 2.5 I think will suit him. I think he'll settle better with that run under his belt. 2.5 will suit him, and Tornado Flyer, I'm sure, will go back towards the King George
via the John Durkin. Both of them
could both go via the John Durkin, which is just over 3 weeks away. A couple of willies have done that in the past, so yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if both went via the John Durkin.
And long-term targets for the two of them beyond that? I mean,
Tornado looks to be a better horse this time of year, Lydia. Mm. He has not a horse that is trained into the spring, so ultimately John Durkin, King George are probably his targets. Blue Lord, 2.5 miles seems to suit him, so John Durkin, and where do you go after that then? It's either up or back at Christmas.
Okay, but I expect him to strip a lot fitter and to make quite a bit of improvement.
Yeah, definitely.
Time,
yeah, most definitely. There's first run, so you can expect them all to be a bit
leaner
and meaner.
More than the two of them, is kind of what I was meaning. The Mayor's Chase, I felt so sorry for Ballyshannon Rose, done on the line by Dolcich. You probably don't share my point of view. It was a beautiful ride from Paul Townend.
A super ride, but I do. I think Brian Hayes said about it brilliantly on a mare that had had two runs this season already. Good run behind French Dynamite and Turles. She's a good yardstick. Ratings in the mid-130s. Paul Fahey trains her. She was fit. She likes the ground. She stays. And she went about stretching probably better mares who weren't as fit as her. Ellie May, Scarlet and Dove. Scarlet and Dove made a mistake at the third last. They got raced.
Statutory error. She has to put it
she in. She does, and she made it. And then they got racing down the hill, and Paul Townend just went, well, away you go. He let them at it. Brian Hayes was happy to engage. He sucked the life out of Scarlet and Dove and Ellie May, but unfortunately for him, he just got under the last. Dolcita winged it, and that was the difference.
Yeah, so is Dolcita flattered by that, the perfect setup, or is she better?
She is probably better. She had to get a brilliant ride to win, there's no doubt about that, but she will strip a hell of a lot fitter. I thought, looking at that bunch in the ring, Scarlet and Dove was round, so was Ellie May, but I thought Dolcita looked the roundest of them. What did you think?
I thought that Dolcita looked the roundest of them, absolutely. I thought the other two were fit enough for first time out,
yeah,
but I can see that they might.
To me, the unfittest has gone and won, so she could improve plenty.
Okay, really interesting. So we had some great stuff here at Clonmel. We hope that you have enjoyed our special edition here, particularly the part where...
Have you enjoyed Clonmel?
I have loved Clonmel. I am definitely coming back. I think it's a fantastic place.
Well, we have loads of race courses like this, Lydia.
Well, I look forward to enjoying them all. Thank you very much to Davey Russell as well for this morning's show. Thank you to Ruby, of course.
And thank
you. We'll see you back in our normal circumstances at 9 o'clock next week.
Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win. Paddy Power.